What a magnificent song, and there's going to come that day. Aren't you looking forward to it?
Amen.
I'm looking forward to it. And thank you again, Tom. Marvelous. This morning, you know, we're going to start our series that I put out there about using the Bible effectively. And I want to start out, I guess, and you don't have to answer it as much as it is a rhetorical question, but I want you to answer it for yourself. What is the Bible to you? I want you to think about that this morning. I mean, truly, what is the Bible to you? Is it simply a prop that you bring to church to make everybody think that you read it, or maybe you didn't even bring it to church anymore? A lot of people don't. But is it a prop because, like up here, we're acting like that we're in a play, and, you know, for instance, right here is the sword that I use as Peter to chop off Malchus's ear. This is nothing but a prop. I don't really wield this sword. It's not real. Okay? Just use it in a play. Is that the extent of what this book is to you? Okay? Or you say, no, listen here. Now, I read it, but it's only a crutch. You know, I'm going to read it, you know, just when I'm trying to find out the answer to a problem that's going on in my life. What is it? What is the Bible to you? Because I'm going to tell you right now that not everybody in this room is the Bible. What you would think is, oh, it is my life. It is the foundation from which I stand. What? I don't know. Maybe everybody can say that. I don't know. I know that the whole world isn't saying that. I know that that's not the extent of how we look at the Bible. And, you know, I put out there a short little video thing on the website and all, and it asked those types of questions. But, you know, what if, you know, I was to tell you in, and it's going to be on the screen, Ephesians 6, verse 17. This is what the Bible says. It says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, so the Word of God is a sword. Right? And I just wonder how many people here this morning, not really worrying about outside, but how many people in this church this morning know how to wield the sword, which is the Word of God? How do you use it? And that is the theme of this series, using the Bible effectively. And I think you need to know how to use it. That's the problem in the world today. And I asked Travis to bring me this contraption this morning. Going to use it. I'm not going to shoot nobody, I promise, because I wouldn't know how to do it. Hey, I'm trying. This is really good for my illustration, actually. You know, I'm not holding it like that. I'm just trying to put that in there. But this is a fishing bow. If you're a real fisherman there, Dennis, this is what you fish with right here. I wouldn't pretend to know how to use it. Okay? But the point is, this weapon right here, in order to be used properly, you got to know how to use it. You got to take it. You may have to study on this just a moment and say, well, I know it's a bow and I know it's a fishing rod, but not sure I could fish too well with something like this. Okay? And, you know, you got to aim it. You got to pull it back right when you get it. You got to know how to catch the line or something, don't you, Travis? I don't know. He gave me a crash course in it. You know, you got some gloves that you got to have, and you got to catch that line, then you got to reel it back in, okay? And so the Bible is like this bow and arrow right here. You look at it, and some kids look at it, and they say, oh, I could do that. Oh, I can do that. I know, I got it. I know what that's about. You just stand there, and you just hold it, and you just pull it back and shoot it. Simple as that. Simple as pie, like the little ones you buy at the dollar store, right? No. It's a whole lot more complicated than that. And if you take your Bible and all you do is you just see, Travis hadn't used that in a while, and he could have just bought it, and it's just hanging there in his little shop, just sitting there, a formidable weapon. It could be, right? That thing, you know, you could shoot me with it, and I can tell you what, it'd be a problem. So it's not just for fish. Okay, but you could use that bow and arrow. You could use the whatever weapon that you have, and as long as it sits there, not being used, all it is an ornament on your wall. And that's why I'm asking you about your Bible. The word tells us here, you know, in the you know, armor of God, that this is the sword. This is what you're out there wielding. And you ask yourself today, why is the church, why are Christians today not like you read in the Bible? Why aren't they with the power and the same authority that they're proclaiming the scriptures anymore? Why is the Christianity today so fickle? It's because you don't know how to wield the Bible. You don't know how to use the Bible effectively. It's a prop, it's a crutch, it's, you know, just something that we come, it's a part of our Sunday morning get up. If you even bring it. Or you have it on your tablets now. Your cell phone. That's okay. You can still get in there and read it. But I tell you, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." It's more than a book, isn't it? It's got to be more than the way we're using it today. It's more than just something that, you know, got all kind of pictures. Just Google it and you can see. Just Google picture of the Bible. And there's a bunch of them out there that have dust on it. And it says, somebody wrote in it, "Read me." Because that's the way the Bible is going. You come to church. I mean, I may be talking to somebody in here. And that's okay. But you come to church and you want to get your 30-minute sound bite. Maybe 30 minutes, 20 minutes sometimes, 45 minutes sometimes. You come on Wednesday night, about an hour and a half, all right? But you want to get your little sound bite. Just tell me a couple of scriptures, and that's going to be your fuel for the rest of the week, I think. Not. If that's all I got, I'd be out of gas by Monday morning. Just a little bit of sound bite, because, you know, nobody preaches to me. So I would hope that, you know, you'd look at the Bible as just something more that you bring to church, and you may crack it open when I say turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It's more than that. It is living and active, as the writer of Hebrews tells us there, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword that we have today. So that tells me that this book right here is a formidable weapon in the hands of somebody who doesn't know how to use it is useless. Or it brings about the opposite result. Let's look at Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Just turn there to the book of Hosea. And the first step to me, and this is what we're going to be talking about in this series, the first step in using the Bible effectively is to know what it says. To know what it says. Hosea chapter 4, starting right here in verse 6, it says, "My people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." What's he talking about? He's writing to the Israelites, And they've ignored God's commands. They just let it go. They don't know what it says, and they're perishing from a lack of knowledge. What type of a lack of knowledge are they perishing from, do you reckon? A knowledge of the Word of God, of the commands of God. Are we any different today? America, the world is perishing because of a lack of knowledge of God and of His Word. And somehow we think we're better. This was written hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years ago. Okay, not hundreds of thousands. All right, but a long, long time ago. Hosea was writing this to the Israelites and applies to us so much today. And God, I'm telling you, is still sitting there saying, "My people are perishing for a lack of knowledge. My people are ignoring my word." And he says, "Because you have ignored me." What did he say? He didn't say, "I was going to ignore you." He said, "I'm going to ignore your children." Psalms 119, verses 11 and verses 105. David is telling us here, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. What? You mean to tell me that you can hide the word of God in your heart? And he, not that that's going to stop you, but he said, David is saying that the word of God is so powerful and it brings you under such conviction because you know it, that I'm going to hide the word in my heart so I may not sin against you. Look at the world today, sinful place. I mean, horrible, horrible place, isn't it? Must not be a lot of word hidden in anybody's heart today. And again, this is more that you can't hide it in your heart. David tells us he meditates on it day and night. Hiding the word in your heart is not simply memorizing John 3:16, and that's the only thing that you can memorize and the only scripture verse that you could tell me today if I ask you what a verse to say. It is more than that. There is 66 books in this leather-bound Bible right here. This is a gift of God. Do you understand what the Bible is? He has given us such beautiful instructions, such beautiful history of his grace and his mercy. And he's given it to us as a tool to be able to use. The gospel is the power unto salvation. What do you use when you go out to tell somebody about Jesus? Where do you get your stories from? What is the power that you have? Is it within yourself? It is within the word of God. You are fighting spiritual battles, and you're trying to fight spiritual battles with human weapons. Do you understand right now that this bow and arrow will do nothing for you in a spiritual fight? Nothing. But here you see in Matthew chapter 4 that here Jesus is led into the desert to be tempted by Satan, and Satan is tempting him, he's tempting him. And what is Jesus using as his weapon? The book of Deuteronomy. He's using the word of God. And you wonder why day after day after day you're getting pummeled, because you're not fighting. You can't fight back. You say, I'm fighting back. I'm praying. Oh, Lord, fight my battle for me. He is not going to do that. First, you're going to have to step back and read the instruction manual. Because he told you some ways that you can get out there and fight about it. And you're sitting there going, no, I don't have time to cram and study for that. Just do it for me, please. How many teachers do that? Say, hey, you know, I didn't have time to study, you know, for this test. Can you just take it for me? Try that at school there. Try it, Cheyenne, when you go to school next week. Just, no, not going to worry about that. Just take it for me. Here, and then you got that. People go, man, we got to cram. Oh, what does the Bible say about, you know, praying for my sick loved one? Oh, what's it going to? It's a crutch at that point. At that point, that's all you do is you go back and you read it when something's going wrong and you're trying to find an answer. It's not an encyclopedia. Encyclopedia, you don't have to read the whole thing. You just, you know, go to the topic that you're looking at and you read about that topic. Is that all the Bible is to you? Just an encyclopedia, you know, just sectioned off and things that you want to read and learn about. Verse 105 here in Psalm 119. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Some of us leaving a flashlight at the house, ain't we? Don't even go out there with it. And you wonder why you trip and fall. Don't blame God. He's given this to you. And I'm telling you today, and this is the problem. How many young people do you figure read this? How many of you read this? Quick to bash on the children. How many of you do it? I'm not asking you to tell me. How many of you sit down and you read it? You have a daily reading of the Bible. Shoot, not even a daily reading. How many have a weekly read outside of church that you crack open your Bible at the house? Ask yourself that. And you say, oh, well, I do it once a week at least. Got my time in, don't you? Sure, that's wonderful. 66 books, 2,000 years to write it, all this time, all this stuff in there. People have studied it for, you know, you got Miss Lois here, fixing to be 100 years old, and she, you know, has her Bible out in her lap right now. I'm sure she's read it, and you're going to tell her in 50 years that you just don't have to worry about it. You just look at it about once a week, and that's it. 100 years of reading the Bible right there almost, and I'm sure that she would tell you today she don't have it all nailed down. How can you claim something that you don't know? How can you stand on something that you don't know? How can you worship something that you don't know? The first step to wielding the Bible as a weapon or using the Bible effectively is knowing what it says. How do you know what it says? You read it. And not only do you read it, but in your King James Bible there, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do your best. Oh, excuse me, I'm going to read it from up there because I'm reading it different. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. The NIV puts out a different, other translations put the first part of that a little bit of different, little different, says present yourselves. But I love that word study right there. But the last part is the meat of it, rightly dividing the word of truth. You sit around, I could preach, this is the thing, I've done this experiment with youth groups before. I could preach to you the falsest doctrine ever from this pulpit, and the sad thing is that at least 75% of you would have no clue that I just preached something that was outside of the frame of the Bible. It happens in churches all across the nation. I can name a couple for you. All right, and people just don't know. I'm in banking. You go, why do I know when somebody hands me a counterfeit or used to hand me a counterfeit 100? Why do I know that? Somebody tell me. Oh, it wasn't because, Jim, that I studied all of the false things out there. It's because I know what a real $100 bill looks like, and they happen to be blue now. Okay? They're not fake. It's, you know, legal monopoly money, we call it. But it's, I know you studied it. You know it. You know that here's this picture and how it feels and all of these things. You know about it. And when somebody presents something that is not what you know, then you realize right then that's not the real thing. And how can you feel, the Bible, doesn't the Bible tell us that in these last days, everybody, and Tom, you're singing a song about it, when Jesus steps out and everybody preaches, we're in the last days. Well, doesn't it say in the last days there's going to be false prophets and teachers that are going to be coming, that they're going to be coming and they're going to deceive even the elected if it were possible? Oh, it's possible. Because we don't know the difference. I'm challenging you this morning. Please quit trying to be spoon-fed. My spoon ain't big enough. And I'm not coming in here with a big, huge spoon for some grown adult people in a church and say, bzzz, open wide, here it comes. Here's a little bit of your taste of your Gerber Bible this morning. What? I mean, you know, it's so much more important than that. I would hate to think that if I had spent, just me, if I was one author, Corey, he's the author of the Bible, watch out, that I spent 2,000 years and all the trouble it took to make sure this book could get in your hands today and we use it to the level we do it today. Kind of like a child, you spend all that money, you give them that Christmas present, and they play with the box. We're playing with the box. Not even interested in the immense amount of time and the immense gift that God put into our hands here. See, once you have the word in you and not just around you, things will change in your life. It's not about having the word around you. Well, I got the Bible sitting close to me. I can put my hands on it. It's on my cell phone. It's on my computer. Or I've got a couple of passages of scriptures that my grandma taught me before. You got to have the word in you. hide the word in your heart. Then you'll see things change. You'll see healings and things like that take place that happen. You're not going to see that without there being some type of fruit. Now, you don't have to. Are you going to study this entire book and be the greatest mind there ever was about the Bible? Maybe you're smarter than me that I'm not able to do that. But I'm going to try. I'm going to study it. I'm going to look at it. I'm going to try to rightly divide the word. I'm going to be in it. And I mean, boy, have I been in it the past 3 weeks. I felt like I was back in seminary. Diving deep and stuff. And I love it. I just keep digging and digging until you're, you know, covered up with all of the stuff. And then you got to say, well, you know, let's look over here. But it's exciting to me to study this book. It's a fascinating book. And it's a living word that it tells us, and it brings life, it brings power, it raises people from the dead. It has stood the test of time. But you know what? At the end of the day, and Darla, you can come on up. At the end of the day, it's not just enough to know what it says, is it? And next Sunday, we're going to talk about the next step in there. Because, you know, James tells us that even the demons believe and they tremble. They know what the word says. So it's not just enough to know, but you got to start there. You got to start there. You got to start reading and looking at it. And young people, old people, middle-aged people, whatever that you are in here, if you don't have a copy of it, come, let me know. We'll get you a copy of it. I don't care. You want King James, whatever, you know, authorized, unauthorized version, stamped, unstamped, notarized and not. I don't care. We'll get you a copy of the Holy Word of God. You want it in Hebrew and Greek? I got one of them in my office. You can have it because I can't read it. Okay? But get a copy of it. Because I can tell you, for me, when you start reading this, and not just looking at one scripture here and one scripture here, but when you see how the Bible fits together and how Isaiah prophesied 500 years before Jesus ever come that he would be despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. And then you see what Jesus did as he went. He was scourged and he was mocked, despised by all of those people, and ultimately went to a cross. And you see how the beautiful picture of the Word of God comes together, that is grace and mercy that is bestowed to you. And that's beautiful. And then I look and I say, okay, Satan's beaten upon me week after week after week after week. And then I turn and I read in Revelation chapter 20, he gets toasted. Done. He gets thrown in the lake of fire. I mean, toasted, burned up, tartar. Lake of fire, the second death, never anymore. He doesn't win in the end. And that gives me victory. When I know I'm on the winning team. And then so when Satan comes against me, I say, wait a minute. Yeah, the Bible also says this, but the Bible also says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. That, you know, Jesus is looking and he's saying, give me, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all these kingdoms. And I'm sure Jesus was laughing. The Bible didn't say it, but I'm sure he was laughing. Are you kidding me? Why do I want these piddly kingdoms? I got something far better than that. And see, I just don't allow Satan to whip me. You know, not anymore. I try not to. You know why? Because I know what this says. And I know that this says that Jesus Christ on the midnight cry is going to split that eastern sky, and the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and that we're going to meet him in the air, and we're going to receive a glorified body. This life that's right here is not all, and I claim that. And so the thing about wielding the Bible, as I told you, you got to know what it says. You got to believe and live what it says, and you got to go out and tell people and share what it says. That's how you use it. So let's start today. If you hadn't gotten to Harry's point, to going out and sharing what it says, let's start today by trying to read it, study it, understand it, so that we can know what it says. Let's pray.